Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
6:15 now on this Monday morning, November 10th, 43 degrees, feels like 31, going up to only 56, 61 tomorrow, then we're back into the 70s. Until next Tuesday when we drop to the 60s again, Mike Dettelier joins us every Monday here at WWL as Rouse's Football Monday. Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Mike Dettelier, it feels good not just to win. I don't care about the draft, okay? It feels good to win, and it feels good to beat a team, and that's what the Saints did yesterday.
Yeah, and it was a convincing win yesterday. Mm-hmm. And to think about, sometimes you have game plans when you're a coach that it never works. Yesterday, your ability to stop the run was perfect. Mm-hmm. The way you played that game, you forced Bryce Young to beat you, throwing the football. He couldn't do it, but you were able to stop the run. And you had had difficulties a good portion of this season when teams want to run the football. But the story, and it's still in the first couple pages, Tyler Shuck,
yep,
what he was able to do yesterday. You saw in his second start, and there's still a lot left to be written, but man, he was poised, he was accurate, his ability to escape the rush and walk up in the pocket and processing where to go with the football correctly. He did a one heck of a job yesterday with it, and man, you walk away and saying, hey, you might have something really good here at that quarterback position.
You know what else I thought, Mike, is that if you look at Bryce Young and Tyler Shuck, I would not trade Tyler Shuck for Bryce Young right now. Not in a world. Not
well,
in any universe.
You won the quarterback battle yesterday.
Yep.
I will say that.
But would you trade Tyler Shuck for Bryce Young?
Well, that's sort of hard to say after two games, but I would say no.
Well, Bryce Young's been around a long time. That's
well, he's been a couple years in the league. Yeah.
Long enough
but,
to get a
But Bryce – man, Bryce struggles yesterday, really, really struggled yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it's a team that won 4-5 last games mm-hmm. With the Panthers. But, man, just looking at it visually, man, Tyler Shuck can make plays that Bryce Young really struggles with.
Yep.
Really, really struggles with throwing the football. But just that, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, about his mechanics and that ability to get the football between arms and hands. Now, he was under a lot of duress, partially what really helped him was you were able to run the football. It was a solid day of running the ball yesterday. And you couldn't do any of that last week at all. So, man, I came away saying that guy really, really, really put on a performance yesterday, because I think what they've tried to do was saying, okay, we're going to stop the run, and if you can beat us throwing it, go ahead and do it. And he was able to yesterday.
I'll tell you one thing. Alvin Kamara yesterday was running like a man possessed. And I was just hoping against hope that he would break one, because he deserved it so badly. He wound
he
up.
He came close.
Yeah, he did a couple of times.
He came close a couple of times. And this is behind a makeshift offensive line, because Fuaga's not playing. You've already lost McCoy. You got a new left guard now because of trading away Trevor Penning. And they did, I thought, a good job of giving Shuck time to throw the football. Now, nothing's ever going to be really perfect, and he had to maneuver around a little bit. The other part about Shuck that catches your eye, and let's see if this can continue. A lot of times young quarterbacks have a tendency to kind of walk themselves into pressure. They move around the pocket, but they walk right where pressure is. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, what you saw with him was, okay, he's got a little pressure, and he walks in the pocket, and he's got his eyes downfield, and woof, that ball's out of there. You see sometimes quarterback running around, and they walk themselves right into where, you know, guys are blitzing. Mm-hmm. He did a really good job with I would call process information of understanding pocket pressure and then walking up and getting into the launch pad and getting it out.
We talk about it all the time. We're going to take a break here. We talk about it all the time. 37 rushes, 28 passes. Generally speaking, when you can do that, you
win
the game. That's exactly right. 620 traffic now, WWL. 625 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettelier every Monday here at WWL is a Rouse's Football Monday. Rouse is the official supermarket of the Saints. Mike, just when you think you know the NFL rules, right, just when you think you know them, comes along the third quarter of the game, Carolina Panthers, fourth and seventh at the Saints, 30-yard line, I think it was, line up for a field goal. It's blocked. But wait a minute. Hold on a second. Carolina keeps the ball. Weird play, huh?
Yeah, the only thing I've seen like that is the Leon Lett touch years ago with the Cowboys. Because once it's blocked, then, you know, most of the time you see everybody, get out of the way, get out of the way, because the ball's rolling around. If you touch it, then, you know, it's kind of open season afterwards. Now, that stuff about who touched it, when it got touched, everything else, that part of the rules there, and we go back to Lett, that kick was blocked, and then I don't know what he thought he was going to do on that
snowy
Thanksgiving play.
Day, was it not against
yes,
Miami?
Yes, it was. It was that snow game, and I don't know what he thought he was going to do with the ball once it was touched, but apparently they were saying Saints guy touched it, so once it's touched, it becomes a live ball again.
Let's talk about the Saints' defense, Mike.
Saints' defense was outstanding yesterday, and that kind of set everything up and set the tone. And think about the Panthers are a running team. That's how they built on running the football. They ran the football 23 times for 73 yards. Okay, Rico Dowdle had been a guy that had back-to-back 200-yard games, and then he had rushed for over 100 yards and then over 100 yards again. And all this stuff about, okay, he's trying to stretch out his leg. He's got a pull here and there. Okay, everybody got injuries. Everybody got them. But yesterday, you know, to try to mask that with, oh, well, you know, this guy's hurt, that guy's no. The Saints' defense was outstanding yesterday. It goes back to what I said. Sometimes a game plan that you set up, sometimes it works out perfectly. It worked out perfectly for the Saints yesterday. DeMario Davis, Alante Taylor, what you got up front, They filled those gaps. They didn't give Dottle any room to run the football. And they won up front. Okay, it's old-fashioned, but it does win in this league. And the guys were making plays. And, again, it forced them to say, throw it to beat me. And they weren't able to do it with Bryce yesterday.
DeMario Davis, to me, yesterday had the equivalent of an Alvin Kamara game. He, you know, you got a couple of guys that have been around for a while, but he played yesterday like he had a fire up, you know what.
Yeah, and, you know, Slarif, because we have Mark on every week on Tuesday, and, you know, we've talked about DeMario, and, well, you know, maybe some of the athletic gifts aren't quite as good as it was early in his career. He is so smart, and he puts himself in a position to make a play. Okay, because as you get older, you have to focus more on that, because sometimes, you know, you're not quite as fast, you're not quite as quick. Some of your strength maybe isn't the same, but knowledge of the game. And that's what DeMario Davis, and he still has really good athletic gifts for his age and for having played as many games. But, man, to put yourself in a position to make big plays time after time after time, it's remarkable to watch him today.
It really is. Especially, it would be remarkable to watch him if he was in the prime of his career, which he's not. No disrespect to DeMario Davis at all. I'm just saying that it's amazing to watch him. It's amazing to watch Alvin Kamara, too, if you think of the mileage on him, right?
Yeah, correct.
And I think that goes to both of them, the off-season training and conditioning and taking care of themselves. All right, more when we come back, 6:30. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Chris Olave showed up yesterday after getting a big concussion last season that ended a big hit that gave him a concussion that ended his season last year in Carolina. It also ended Dennis Allen's run as head coach. A lot of people didn't realize that going into the game. Mike, a lot of people are texting in, how can you get this performance out of a team when they seem so lackluster before?
Man, it's the NFL. They all pros. All of them are pros. But you saw yesterday, the Saints were focused. They played with energy. And also, Tommy, I think when we watch some of the earlier games, what was happening in the first quarter? This team was struggling. They were giving up big plays. They weren't making it on offense. And, yeah, you gave up a first drive touchdown. But I think playing with some confidence really kind of catapulted this team yesterday. And it's not like that every week. This team had struggled in the first quarter of basically every game, really did, on both sides of the football. But you were able to piece it together yesterday. And I thought the throw to get it, because it looked as though Shuck might be getting a tackle for a safety. Okay, you sort of save points there. The Chris Olave deep pass, you saw almost like put the battery cables on the battery. You got it. And who he beat to get that? J.C. Horn. Because I think J.C. on that play, he was trying to find the ball in flight, and they were kind of, you know, arm wrestling a little bit, as you want to say. They were kind of a little push, a little shove here and there, and then he lost his balance. Olave's free. You get 7 points, bang. But it was also three and out after the touchdown drive. You built some confidence on this football team. I never believe in momentum. Momentum lasts long enough for you to get hit in the mouth the next time you play. But you believe in yourself and confidence in what you're doing. And, again, I go back to it. That game plan yesterday, because if you're a coach, you got some of them, you don't ever want to look at that game plan again. Yesterday was one of them that worked because you ripped away their strength in running the football and you got the playmake skills of Shuck and hitting Olave. He makes a great one-handed catch. Juwan Johnson comes through for you. You were able to run the football a little, and it all worked for you. And during the game, didn't you kind of feel, hey, this is a little different than some of the other games?
Yep, I did.
That when you had a lead, you thought, man, you know, it's going to be easy for the other team.
Correct.
You didn't have that feeling against the Panthers, the way they were playing, because you know what? They played with zero confidence. Zero.
I thought throughout the entire game, it's like, you know what? We got 10, but it's probably going to be enough.
And it would have been.
Yep.
And it would have been. But, you know, again.
But I would not have had that feeling in previous games at all.
Yes, exactly. It all comes down to what you believe in.
And it's not just defensively, Mike.
And
it was
confidence.
About them running the ball. And that goes to the offensive line and believing in them and consistency and sticking with the run, which they did.
And also, too, man, you seeing this, I don't want to call him a young guy, but you seeing your quarterback throw the football, and you see the way that ball leaves his hands. Hey, we got a shot here with this guy.
Yep.
You
totally
got a
agree.
Shot here with this guy.
So we'll talk about the rest of the season when we come back after the bye, and I don't know if it portends good things for Spencer Rattler at all, other than maybe being the backup. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56 and a half after a big football weekend. Don't forget, you can second guest tonight for this evening, 4 o'clock. Join Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier, second guest live on location. Silver Slipper Casino, beautiful Hancock County, Mississippi. They'll break down the Saints-Panthers game, as Mike is for us now. Plus LSU-Bama, and take your calls in at 6:30. It's a Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Mike Haas and the Cajun Cannon. Head coach Kellen Moore followed at 7 by run game coordinator T.J. Paganetti. Then Haas and Dettelier with a focus on the NFC South at 7:30. Catch Monday Night Football, Eagles at Packers on WWLAMFM.com and the free Odyssey app. No snow for the Packers game tonight, but it's going to be cold. Mike, tell me about Kellen Moore. Do you get a feel for him about what kind of coach he is yet with some of the decisions he's making and what's going on during the game?
Well, this is just the early rebuild of mm-hmm. this team. So he'll be a lot different play caller with different talent around him. Mm-hmm. But everything, I thought, up until yesterday had been played almost like in a goldfish bowl. Everything was short. It was always compacted. Really didn't try to stretch the field. Mm-hmm. I think some of that, too, was trying to play to Spencer Rattler's strength, which is more in the short and immediate part of the game than the deeper ball, and also to your offensive line. Could you hold up, you know, trying to throw the deep ball? Yesterday you saw him sort of stretch it a little bit. It was more stretched than what you had seen in other games, and that's trying to play to Tyler Shuck's strength. Is I've always felt his strength as a player was his ability to throw the medium range and the deeper pass real well. And he did that. But again, when you can't run the ball, Tommy, and yesterday you got a semblance of a running game, but really you had struggled in that area all season long, it sort of closes up your playbook real quick. And so you limit it. Oh, throw the ball deep. Well, if you can't protect your quarterback, mm-hmm. What's the good of throwing it deep? I thought it was a little different yesterday because they got a semblance of a running game. And it opened up because, man, I'm not going to fall for no play action. If you can't run it, somebody else might, but I'm not. I'm going after the quarterback. I thought yesterday he opened it up and it paid dividends.
I know Bobby J always goes to turnovers. I always go to run, pass, balance. And when you run it 37 times, you pass it 28. 9 out of 10 of the times, what's going to happen, Mike?
You're going to win.
Yep.
If you can balance it out.
Yep.
You know, but I will say this. The Panthers were balanced yesterday, but they couldn't make the play.
Right.
They couldn't make the big play when they needed it. Hey, no matter what kind of, you know, look at the glass it is, Tyler Shuck played one hell of a game yesterday.
He did. Thank you, Mike. We'll be listening this afternoon. We'll come back, talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU-Bama here on WWL. Beautiful cold day outside. If you like the cold weather, and I do right now, we're talking about temperatures that are in the, oh, I guess if you average them throughout the area, in the 40s, 44 degrees with a wind chill in the 30s, going up today to only 56 degrees and 61 tomorrow, and then 70s by Wednesday and Thursday, but the mid-70s, so it's still going to feel nice, and then back to the 60s by next Tuesday as we get into November. Jeff Palermo joins us now. Every Monday is an LSU Monday. It's presented by Rouse's Supermarket. Rouse's, the official supermarket of, pardon me, LSU. How you doing, Jeff? Jeff Palermo, you got me on mute? Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, joins us now. Talk about LSU and Alabama. LSU, Alabama. Sweet home, Alabama. Jeff Palermo, you got me on mute? Did Jeff walk away? Maybe he did. Maybe so. I don't know. But I can tell you this much. Today at 4, you can second guess with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettelier at the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. Two favorite Cajuns will break down the weekend's rivalry games, LSU at Bama. What did the Tigers show us in Tuscaloosa? And Saints at Carolina, how things go in Tyler Shuck's second start. Then at 6:30, heading to the Black and Gold's bye week on the Visit Pensacola Saints coaches show. Head coach Kellen Moore is joined by run game coordinator T.J. Paganetti. Then at 7:30, you have a choice on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Monday Night Football, Eagles at Packers, or on the Big 870 AM, Pelicans at Phoenix Suns. Pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8. WWL, home of the Saints, LSU, Pelicans, and the NFL. So we do have Jeff, or we don't have Jeff? We do have Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how are you? Okay, so apparently we don't have Jeff. What did y'all think about the LSU game? And I wonder what happens now, because you heard during the news that the LSU interim coach said that they didn't think there was going to be a change in the depth chart. But you got to wonder, I got to thinking about Garrett Nussmeier.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And the loyalty that he showed to the program, and at what point do you let him finish out the season? But then with the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness, you got to see what you got in Michael Van Buren, right? They tell me to try it again. Let's see. Jeff Palermo, you there?
Hey, Tommy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Fine. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm all right. Tell me your thoughts about the Alabama game Saturday night.
Well, I think as we anticipated, LSU was going to play with a lot of fight, their determination, intensity, and they did. And the defense did enough to win, but they were not going to be able to fix what ails this offense during the bye week, or change the head coach, or change the play caller. It all starts with the offensive line. It all starts with a Garrett Nussmeier that's just, for whatever reason, it just it hasn't happened for him this season.
It looks to me like he's lost his confidence completely. Jeff, thoughts?
Well, I think that's a good part of it. I think the issues with the offensive line has really messed with his head. I think that's a good way to put it. I think you had an injury that slowed this guy down early on in the season. And I think he's been trying to play catch-up the entire year. And he has some wide receivers that are not – I mean, they're a good group of wide receivers. It's not a great group of wide receivers. And you don't have a running game to kind of lean on. So there's just a lot of factors that go into it. And I think you're right, Tommy. I think the confidence part is there. And then you basically draw up a game plan that calls for him to just only throw the ball like 5 or 10 yards through the air. I mean, he only threw one pass over 20 yards the entire game. And it's just a mess. It's an absolute mess offensively. And bringing in Michael Van Buren really didn't provide the spark that I think Frank Wilson and the coaching staff was looking for.
You know, what's funny about that is I looked up the definition of mess and just took a screenshot of it and sent it to some friends during the game and highlighted the part about what a mess is in terms of coordination and so forth. And that was the exact thought that I had. Let me take a break, Jeff. We're running a little bit late. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but we'll pick it up when we come back. 720 traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Palermo. Tell me what you saw from Van Buren.
Well, I think it's what you anticipated in that he gives you the ability to run the read option, the zone read. He's a threat with his legs. His accuracy was a little bit off. I mean, there was a couple plays that needed to be made there. His passes were a little bit off. You know, the drop by Tre'Davious Green in the fourth quarter, that was certainly not on him. I mean, that was right there. When they could have completed, he showed you on a third and long his ability to run, but you know, I don't know. Now this to me puts kind of Frank Wilson and his coaching staff in a difficult predicament, because we don't know what's going to happen a month from now, Tommy. I mean, and there's a good chance that the starting quarterback for the Tigers in 2026 is not on this team, and for Garrett Nussmeier, there's a part of you that has to be thinking, hey, this is a kid in this world of NIL where kids take off left and right, go from one school and hop around and this and that. He has stuck it out, and he's got three more games left as an LSU Tiger. So do you play him and out of respect out of him.
And let him show what he can do because he's heading into the NFL draft, right?
Yeah, and but do you want to also give Michael Van Buren the look just to see what you got? So I think when they made the move, and I agree that they needed to do something.
But let me just say this, Jeff, and I got to say this, because in this day and age of college football, you might be giving Michael Van Buren a chance to show what he's got so he can go to transfer portal, right?
Right, he could. He could, but I have a feeling the next coaching staff is going to go find the quarterback that they want.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's what's going to happen here.
So as far as the team goes, what you're saying is it doesn't matter. We're talking about what's best for Garrett Nussmeier or what's the right thing to do, right?
Yeah, I think there's a part of it. I think that's got to play into it. I think in the end they're going to go with the guy that gives them the best chance to win. And they needed a spark. They needed to see something. They needed to do something differently. That last drive that Garrett Nussmeier was in charge of was an absolute disaster mm-hmm. once they got to the 8-yard line. I mean, there was a pass that he couldn't connect with Barrion Brown in the end zone. Then you took the delay of game, and then he takes that horrible sack. And it's just like, okay, enough of this. Let's do something else here. And you just didn't get what you were thinking you're going to get out of Michael Van Buren. And now, you know, with everything that is so in flux with this program, now you don't even really know who's going to be the starting quarterback or who's going to be the quarterback from series to series.
We got an early kickoff coming up against Arkansas, right, at Tiger Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, 11:45, and it'll be interesting to see just kind of what the, you know, how filled the place is going to be. And then you got Western Kentucky after that. How restless the fans will be if the LSU offense continues to struggle. So, and, you know, Arkansas is not a good team, but they can score some points, and LSU really can't. So, not a for sure win, that's for sure.
I will say this, if you wanted to experience LSU football and you never have, this would be a good weekend for you to do it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it would. You're probably going to find some pretty cheap tickets out there. There's no doubt about that, yeah.
And maybe not a big crowd for you to do some tailgating early on if you like. And I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. I mean it sincerely.
No,
for people that wanted to have the LSU experience that have never had it, this could be your chance. You're not going to have the full Saturday night sun has found its home in a western sky experience. Not that you have that anymore anyway, but you understand what I'm saying.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. If you'll be able to find some pretty cheap tickets on the secondary market. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how this team reacts because, you know, we saw this a lot, especially in the Les Miles era. Once you got to that Alabama game and you lost that game, that the season was basically over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Frank's got a pretty big job in front of him. It was easy to get them hyped up for Alabama. How does he get them hyped up now for these next three games? It'll be interesting to see how he's able to accomplish that.
Thank you, Jeff. Every Monday morning is an LSU Rouses Monday morning with Jeff Palermo. Rouses, the official supermarket of the NFL. Coming up, we'll have Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it. Some financial insights you can count on. We'll talk about holiday shopping right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Time for Bank on It. Financial insights you can count on with Jason Shields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. How you doing, Jason?
Doing good, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. So how are you liking this cold weather?
I'm loving it.
Me?
It is magnificent.
Me too. Tell me what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so today what we're going to talk about is safe, smart, and secure spending for the holidays. You know, over the weekend, I was going through my neighborhood on a walk, and everybody's putting up Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. So I figured it's probably time we start talking about this. As you get into the holiday season, this is obviously the peak of fraud, right? It's when scammers are at their best, right? It's not just the holidays for us. It's unfortunately the holidays for them. And so the reason for that is it's really a perfect storm of people shopping more. They're in a hurry and they're spending in places that they don't normally shop because it's the holidays. So scammers pretty much count on that. And they know we're moving fast and letting our guard down. And that's basically what they count on. So that's what I really want to do today, is kind of talk about some of the different methods that you can use to pay for things this holiday season, and kind of talk about the ones that are the safest or not.
So the reason is because we're all excited about getting Christmas presents, and it's all about misdirection, right? Where we're not paying attention to this or that or the other thing that we should be?
Absolutely, 100%. And really, I don't think a lot of folks understand the different ways you can pay. There's so many different ways to pay now, Tommy, right? You got the tap, you can use your chip, you can use a pin, you can swipe, you can punch your numbers in online. And so I want to just touch on those things a little bit to let folks know what's the most secure. So the first one is what we call tap to pay, right? That's the one we call Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay. And it's, well, that's had a really high uptick in usage. A lot of people are still, you know, iffy about it and don't use it. And so I want to start with that one and say that is actually the 100% most secure way that you can pay for things. Because what happens is there's no actual card number. So when you go up to the terminal, you tap your phone, a one-time code's generated, it uses your biometrics, your face or your finger for verification, and then that code stops existing, right? And so in essence, even if someone was sitting there and sniffing your phone or listening to it or whatever methods they want to use, that it's completely unhackable in that way. So I would encourage everyone, use that as your primary way of paying. Not a lot of people realize you can actually do that at a lot of gas stations.
Say that again, Jason. That's very important. Say that again, please, for people that missed it.
Yeah, the tap to pay, Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, is the 100% most secure way that you can pay for things. It is a one-time code. It stops existing. And I encourage everyone to go out there. If you've not used it before, it takes all of about 30 seconds to set up. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to pay.
Okay.
It really is. And it looks cool too, right? When people see you tap your phone on a terminal and you pay for it, you don't have to pull anything out, your wallet, your purse, or whatever it is.
How do you go about doing that? You download an app?
Yeah. So if you're using an Apple phone, you just go into what they call the Apple wallet and you add your card to it. Same thing with if you're on Android, they have Android Pay, Samsung Pay. Same thing. It walks you through the process. It basically, you either tap your phone on your card on the phone, or you take a picture of it and it loads that in. It talks to your bank, asks you a couple questions to verify it's you when you're set up. 30
awesome.
Seconds, Tommy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So another way that's gaining popularity, but a lot of people aren't really sure about, is just tap to pay with a physical card, right? So that's the second one. So most cards now, they have little chips in them. So you don't even have to actually swipe it. You can just, anywhere you see that little hand icon with the waves coming out of it, it's not the best looking icon for something that says pay with this. But in essence, you can actually take most of your cards nowadays, hold it up to that terminal, and it'll work. You don't even have to swipe it, and you don't have to insert your chip. That, beyond Apple Pay, is the second most secure way, mm-hmm. because it does the same thing as the Apple Pay. The only difference is, obviously, because it's a physical card, a little less secure because somebody may actually be there trying to read it mm-hmm. while you're doing that. But I encourage everyone, if you've never used Tap to Pay, it's great, right? It is. You take your card out and just tap it on the terminal. Boom, done.
Let's talk about debit and credit cards, because that's a big difference, right?
Yeah. So before we jump into that, I'll talk about the EMV chip as well, right? So the third most secure way is that you can insert your card into the actual terminal. Now, everybody's seen those little chips on their card. They don't really know what those are necessarily. In essence, that creates a little one-time code. It's a secure encrypted chip. So again, before you swipe your card, I encourage you to, you know, run through this logic. And if they don't have any kind of tap to pay, insert your card into that chip reader. Mm-hmm. And then the last method would be PIN transactions or swiping. I would recommend those the least, because obviously, as we all know, over the years, skimmers become a thing where they put a little device in between that thing and they can grab your card number. And your card number is not encrypted. There's no magic to those little mag strips anymore. Anybody, it's there, it's in plain text, and if someone has something that can swipe that and read that, they will get your number. So I highly encourage anyone, when it's at all possible, not to swipe their card unless it's the least, you know, it's the only way you can get the transaction done. And even when you do those types of things, I would just be cautious. I often go up to a terminal and my wife makes fun of me because I'll give it a little jiggle or a wiggle to see if perhaps someone has moved it and maybe put a skimmer on it. Is it overkill? Sure, but I really don't want to have to go through the process of someone taking my card number. So to your point about credit and debit cards, I think this is an interesting one in the holiday season as well, because both of them have the ability to dispute transactions, Tommy, but mm-hmm. as we all know, when you swipe a debit card, that money's out your account. It is gone. And so the dispute process is a little bit more difficult, a little more time consuming because sometimes you can get provisional credit, sometimes you can't. Credit cards have much better fraud mechanisms as far as disputes are concerned. Number one, the money hasn't come out of your account because it's on your credit card. But number two, there's just a slightly different method that they use to do chargebacks and everything. So if you're buying anything big, those video game systems or whatever this holiday season, I would encourage everyone, do it on your credit card first and just pay it off from your checking account right when it posts and you're sure that you don't have anything that you want to dispute. You do have about 60 days to dispute those things, but again, it's easier with credit cards. And a lot of people are hesitant to use credit cards because they don't like debt. Remember, if you pay it off the month that you get that statement, you're not being charged fees. So think of it more as a purchasing card that you always keep a zero balance on, and you won't even have to worry about what your interest rate is because you're just getting those rewards from swiping your card.
Any final thoughts, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. So just be safe. When you're doing online shopping, make sure you look for sites with the padlock. Another thing I tell people is when you're shopping online, you can also use Apple Pay and Samsung Pay and Google Pay. I encourage people to use those things because that's a much more secure method of doing it. And, just if it seems too good to be true, don't just think twice before you do it, right? Scammers rely on emotion. And finally, Tommy, I'd like to say as we head into Veterans Day tomorrow, Gulf Coast Bank joins me in thanking all those who served. We're grateful for your courage and your example that you set.
Amen. Somebody texted in about, is there a difference between swiping your card and inserting it?
Yes. Inserting is what you want to do. Swiping just reads that little mag strip.
Yeah.
Inserting reads the chip. The chip is way more secure to do it that way.
Thank you, sir. Very valuable information. Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He's with us every Monday morning, with Bank On It, financial insights you can count on. You can go, Jason, real quick, if somebody wants to find out more about Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, how do they do it?
GulfBank.com.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 7:53, 7 till 8, traffic now, WWL. Yep, 8:14 on this chilly Monday morning. Temperature's 46 degrees. If you average them in the area with the wind chill, it's going to feel colder than that with the breeze blowing. I was outside earlier, and it was pretty chilly. Highs today only 56, 61 tomorrow, then in the 70s, then back to the 60s by next Tuesday. Leslie Harris joins us, New Orleans City Council member. Do you like the cold weather or not?
I do, actually. I'm really excited about it.
Me too. Do you like seafood gumbo or chicken andouille gumbo?
Chicken andouille.
Me too. I'm right there with you. How do dogs behave?
They're crazy. They're insane.
Yeah, well, that doesn't change, does it?
No, indeed.
No, but the people at the furniture store are happy because the dogs keep eating the couch. You keep buying couches. The economy's stimulated. Everybody's happy. The dogs are happy. Everybody's happy, I would think, except for the person paying for the couches. Let's talk about this bond package. First of all, let's talk about the city and the cash crunch that they're in and the plans that are afoot. You're a skilled attorney, and you know the way all of these things work. Thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, well, we know that the $125 million bond that we're seeking approval from the state, which, again, the state does not fund it. We go to a private lender to get that. Joe Geruso, Mayor-elect Moreno, and J.P. Morrell are going back up to Baton Rouge, and we think that that approval will come from the state this week, and that will allow us to meet the obligations that we have this year with paying it back next year through taxes, et cetera. So I'm optimistic about the 125 that the state will approve that.
How concerned are you about the 26 budget?
I think that we're going to have to make some cuts, but I think that we can do it systematically with a scalpel, not just across the board as the current mayor is proposing. So the current mayor is proposing just an all-around 30% cut on every single department. I think there are essential programs that we need to keep, and so we need to sit down and take a really hard look at where we can cut, how we can do it without impacting city services.
I don't know if you can legally say this or not, but just as a guy from, wherever, it would seem as though the logical thing would be, since Helena Moreno is already on the council, would be for you guys to get together and say, well, let's see what this is going to look like because we got to deal with this, not the outgoing mayor. and kind of tune it to whatever her preferences would be. Is that going too far or not?
That's not going too far. I think that's exactly right. And I think that that's why this council needs to sit down together and make those cuts in consultation with the incoming mayor. So I think you're absolutely right that we need to adjust the budget based on the future and not the past.
I am extremely optimistic about the incoming mayor, about the council. We don't know quite yet what that's going to look like, the council, but I am extremely optimistic about the future of the city. Do you share that enthusiasm?
I do. I think that we are going to have a great incoming city council. Many of us are staying put. Councilmember Green, Freddie King, JP, and myself will be there. You know, we don't know the races who will be for D and A yet, but all of those candidates are great candidates. So I think that it's going to be a strong council. And I think that Mayor-elect Moreno is going to put a good team in place. Many of the people who are on the transition team are folks who I know who are respected business leaders. And I think she's going to have a business mind with running the city.
Let's talk about the bond proposals that are on the ballot that people are already voting on. November 15th is Election Day. To be clear, that's got absolutely nothing to do with what's going to happen between now and the end of the year with this $125 million bond issue, correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. So what's on the ballot and what the voters are voting on, it does not have anything to do with the $125 million. What they are voting on is affordable housing, which, you know, I'm passionate about, and I really encourage the voters to vote for it, for infrastructure and for drainage. And so it's a $515 million package that will not increase taxes, and I hope that all of the voters out there who are considering it will take a hard look at it, but will vote yes on all three bond propositions.
So the BGR said that the city should find other more secure ways to fund its housing needs. I'm sure you're aware of that. Let me take a break, yeah, and you can pick it up when we come back. You can respond to that, okay?
Sure.
And also, let me just ask you real quick in the 40 seconds before traffic. You're a partner in a law firm. You're a very successful lady. What made you so passionate about homelessness?
You know, I come from a background that, you know, was very lower middle class. My mom took in a lot of my friends and my brother's friends who were on hard times. And so I think that that's why I'm so passionate about it. Any of us at any time can fall into homelessness.
You had friends? Wow.
Not just canine friends.
Way ahead of me. Well, you're way ahead of me. Yeah. All right, 8:20, we'll take a break, pick it up. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 8:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. That commercial said anything about sofa cushions? I don't think so, did it? No. Okay. Leslie Harris is our guest, New Orleans City Council member who's got, by her own admission, dogs that are just crazy, just nuts. Let's talk about this affordable housing bond issue. BGR says that the city should find other more secure ways to fund its housing needs. Tell me what this would do and how the money's going to be spent, because there is a provision on all of these bond issues that, and this was part of a problem with the last one, Leslie, if you want to talk about it, that the money is actually going to be spent for what people vote it for.
Correct. Yeah. So each of the bond propositions have to be voted on by the people. But let me just back up for a second.
Sure.
The BGR came out against the Housing Trust Fund itself, which voters overwhelmingly voted to support by 75% of the vote. So the Housing Trust Fund is established.
What is that, Leslie? What is the Housing Trust Fund?
Sure. So the voters established a housing trust fund, which dedicates money, city money, to housing. And if you think about housing as infrastructure, it dedicates money to creating and protecting affordable housing. So that would be building housing, single family homes, rental properties, preserving housing, preserving through repairs, et cetera. And so the voters voted for that, and that is a thing. So we are dedicating city money to housing, which is critically needed in the city of New Orleans.
Okay.
What this bond proposition would do is fund some of the housing trust fund, not all of it, but some of the housing trust fund. And so let me just give you an example of how that bond money would look by something we just passed. We just used $6.5 million to support the creation of new affordable housing through the through funding the Naval Station redevelopment, BW Cooper, new units there for senior housing, the Ravana at the River District, and Henriette DeLille. $6.5 million that the city has funded using bond money. So going forward, that's an example of how we can use bond money to create affordable housing.
And when you say affordable housing, just so there's no misperception or confusion on that, that would be affordable housing for whom?
For anyone who is 125 AMI or less than that. So that means people who are working, who might not be able to afford rents that are $2,000 but can't afford $800 rents. People who are in a family unit who want to buy a new home. So these are our neighbors who just need housing. And so that's why I'm so passionate about affordable housing, because New Orleanians deserve it. And again, I think we all need to think of housing as infrastructure that can help our people.
Along those lines, speaking of infrastructure, I saw a lot on social media over the weekend about the fires that damaged the, and look, I had Scott Boyle on myself that, and spoke to him about the fires that damaged the on-ramp and so forth. But I think what people don't understand is, where do these people go if you clear them out? And these are human beings we're talking about. So where do they go? You don't want them in a situation where they can cause a fire large enough to damage infrastructure, but yet they have to go somewhere, right?
That's absolutely correct. And Tommy, let me just say this. We have housed over the past year 1,422 people from off the streets into permanent supportive housing. And so we're doing a good job on that front as well.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Any final thoughts in the 30 seconds we have left?
Nope. Stay warm.
Huh? Stay warm. Have you considered any kind of professional training with these dogs, or are you just written them off as miscreants?
We've had two trainers and it doesn't help.
Yeah, the trainers ran off. Threw their hands up, said, I just can't call a priest. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Call
exactly
a priest. I can't
that.
Help you. This is an exorcism. This is not a training thing. Thank you, Councilperson Leslie Harris. Appreciate it. We'll talk about air travel and a nightmare that it's become in the United States when we come back. 8:30 on the button. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Beautiful fall morning out inside. I was just outside taking a breath of fresh air, 8:46, 14 till 9. Henry Hartefeld joins us, travel industry analyst, the Atmosphere Research Group, travel industry market research firm. He's been helping us keep an eye on what's going on with the airline industry and the government shutdown and air traffic controllers and people timing out of flights, etc. How you doing, Henry?
Tommy, I'm well today. It was a different story Saturday when I was trying to fly from San Francisco to Dallas-Fort Worth.
I wanted to hear that story because I know you told us about it last week. Tell me what your experience was.
Well, unfortunately, this was a mechanical problem by the airline, but it took, because they there were just fewer flights operating, let's put it this way. I was supposed to get into Dallas-Fort Worth at 4:10 p.m. in the afternoon, landed at 10 p.m. Now, I got here safely. And I will also say, I think many of the people who were trying to get where they needed to go were reaccommodated by the airline. But there have been some real tough.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Situations here for a lot of people, and getting anywhere this week is going to be tough. Even if, by the way, the government does end the shutdown, it's still going to take the FAA and the air traffic controllers a day, 2 days, maybe three, to get everything back to normal.
So when it comes to the problems that you had, and I know you said a mechanical issue, but that means margin of error as it is pretty slight. So when you factor in the problems with the government shutdown, it doesn't take a little cog can become a big giant thing, right?
Correct. Look, airplanes are expensive and they have to be paid for. And because of that, it's not like airlines keep dozens and dozens of spare planes sitting around. They just literally cannot afford to do that. So, you know, when we have a bad weather event happen, you know, airlines know how to handle that. But we are going into what, day four now of an FAA mandated, government mandated reduction in flights. And so the airlines are doing their best to minimize the inconvenience to the traveling public. But when you layer on top of that winter weather storms like we saw happen in the New York area yesterday, and I believe Chicago as well, that just makes everything, even worse. There were more than 2,000 flights canceled on Sunday alone. I mean, the system is stretched to the breaking point. These air traffic controllers are doing everything they can. And by the way, so are the TSA workers at airports.
Did you have a hard time with TSA?
No, I did not. Saturday it was easy, and because I live close to the San Francisco airport, after a certain point when the rolling delays hit and they said, you're not leaving until at least 4, I went home and then came back later. Mm-hmm. It's lucky I could do that. But what I will say to people is do still give yourself extra time. Some airports are having staffing problems. Some airports are having longer than average wait times. And some airports don't have all the security lanes open.
Is there any doubt that the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to get?
Yes, it absolutely will. Well, for one thing, we have been at the FAA said 4% of the flights had to be cut through the weekend. Starting tomorrow, that ratchets up to 6%, goes up to 8% after that, and then the 10% target. Again, unless we hit that, unless the government reopens. But it will get worse. And my concern is that it could get worse because as the longer these government employees go without being paid, the less incentive they have to show up for work. They've got to find ways to feed their families and pay their bills. So a lot of them are doing side jobs or leaving their jobs altogether for new jobs.
Mm. We'll talk about retirement and more when we come back. 8:50, 10 till 9. Henry Hartefelt, our guest, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, travel industry market research firm. We first found Henry when he was on CBS Evening News. We saw a big New Orleans poster in the background. We said, well, let's call him. And he was nice enough to come on and has ever since. Traffic Now, WWL. 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Henry Hartefelt, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, travel industry market research firm. Today is November 10th, Thanksgiving, November 27th. It could have been on the 24th, maybe even earlier. Do those couple of days help, Henry? I guess it all depends on what these fools decide to do with the government, right?
You know, look, Tommy, right now, the Thanksgiving travel period starts actually that Friday or Saturday before it. Some of the airlines measure it differently. Mm-hmm. So that would be like the 21st or 22nd.
Oh, that's true. What am I thinking of? People don't travel. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And no. So I was going to say, you know, we are getting painfully close, uncomfortably close to Thanksgiving. With all of this. And you're right, I do hope that there's a resolution for many, many reasons to this shutdown far sooner. But Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy has said that if it is necessary, the FAA will mandate airlines to cut more than the 10% they have targeted as the top now. It could go to 20% cuts, and that could really cripple us by Thanksgiving if we don't have a resolution.
I can't believe politically that's anything either party would want to do. I don't know. I was just thinking the other day, and I know people are going to text on this, but a political posture around the holidays of fighting the court system to give food benefits to hungry people or doing whatever you can to tie up the travel system for people of means that can get to see their loved ones at a holiday season. I don't know that that's smart political posturing, but what do I know, right, Henry?
It's, you know, look, I'm an airline analyst, not a political analyst, but yeah. I'm a marketing guy, and it's not a good look for the elected officials in D.C.
Not a good look. I'm like you. I'm a kind of marketing guy, and it's like I don't know that that's really the way you want your product, what you want it associated with, right? What about the age of air traffic controllers and people? Oh, no, wait, let me check that question. Let me move to, in the time that's remaining, the rights that people have if their flights get canceled, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. Right. If your flight is canceled by the airline, you have the right to request a refund for the unused portion of your ticket. The airline will offer you that or must offer you that. You can also take a travel credit if it's an airline that you fly with. So, you know, you've got some flexibility. Some airlines, including American, Delta, Southwest, and United, are offering refunds through November 12th or 13th, even if you just don't want to travel, even if your flight's operating, you just don't want to put yourself through the stress, you can request it. Information is on the airline's websites and through their mobile apps.
That's going to cost a lot of money, a lot of people, a lot of money. Thank you, Henry. I appreciate your time, and I'm glad are you in Dallas now, or you got back to San Francisco?
I'm in Dallas for a few more days and then home, I hope.
God bless you. All right, Henry Hartefelt, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the latest on the government shutdown. Stay with us, WWL. Looking at a story here from NOLA.com, our friends over at NOLA.com, by Wilson Alexander, about Brian Kelly and his buyout, saying that, you know, they might have some legal stuff going on here and when and how much and all that stuff. But it says here, LSU offered lump sum payments of $25 million and $30 million a day. Kelly was fired, but Kelly rejected them. I've been thrown out of places for nothing before. Can you imagine being offered $30 million just to leave and saying no? Matter of fact, I don't even need a box. You just keep everything that's in there. I don't care what it is, pictures, this, that, the other thing. I'll have them recreated. Just give me the $30 million and I'll go. And that just struck me as odd, because basically what you're saying is, if you leave right now, I'm going to give you $30 million. And I don't know about you, but I've been asked to leave places before with no remuneration. Yes? Yeah, right. And what did you do? Just left. That's exactly right. You just leave. I'm not talking about necessarily an employment situation either. I just mean it's like just go, just leave. Okay. I had a job one time when I was attending the University of Life. I was performing it so poorly, and I was such a gadfly. The manager, Gary, God bless him, said, just go home. I said, are you firing me? He said, no, I'll pay you. Just, for the love of God, just go home. Just go. So maybe that was the kind of Brian Kelly deal I had, but on a much smaller minimum wage scale. Aaron Dusso joins us now, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, to talk about the latest on the government shutdown. How you doing, professor?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the latest on the government shutdown. Where do we stand? What happened over the weekend?
Well, the latest is that it's functionally on the process to being over. So last night, the Senate voted to invoke cloture and move forward on voting on, I think it's three spending bills that would reopen the government.
Take me through that, if you will, please, about, for people that don't understand cloture, and it's a weird word. We first found out about it when it came to, after Katrina, at least that's when I learned about it, and Mary Landrieu trying to get revenues for the state and the filibuster and cloture, et cetera. But just take us through a little of Poli-Sci 101, if you would, please.
Well, basically what it boils down to, there's only two ways to end debate in the Senate. So what I mean is the Senate can talk forever. And if you want to end that debate and vote on something, you have two options. Get a unanimous consent agreement. That means every single person has to agree to end debate, or you file for cloture, and that would be requires a vote of 60% of the senators. So that's a slightly lower bar than the unanimous consent agreement. But those are the only two ways in the entire world, you know, entire history of the Senate, that you can actually end debate there. And so this is a key hurdle every time a bill comes up for consideration of the Senate. You have to get a supermajority in order to really get it to pass.
So they voted to end. Not that the filibuster ever did happen, right? But just the threat of the filibuster. So they voted to end the threat of the filibuster. Correct me if I'm hurting myself here, if I'm saying the wrong thing.
Right. I mean, it's basically they agreed to end debate and move forward. And now technically end debate means there'll be 30 more hours of consideration of the bill. So they wouldn't be able to vote on it today. But they agreed that we're going to end debate on this particular bill, which was the filibuster part of it. And then, you know, 30 hours from now, they'll be able to have an actual substantive vote on final passage. I think it's three bills, I believe, they're going to pass with regards to funding the government.
But at no point was there an actual filibuster, right?
Right. Yeah. They didn't get into the Senate and hand it off and have people talk the whole time. Historically, the way the filibusters have worked, the ones that are, you know, that actually happen are just a threat. Right. We say we're going to filibuster this and then, right, then the majority has to go on with something else.
Right. So it was just the threat that I don't want to get too much into parliamentary procedure, but it was everybody knew that the filibuster could happen and blah, 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 blah. What are in these three bills? Are these bills that the House passed already and sent to the Senate? Did they go to any kind of conference committee? Have there been any changes?
So because this is an agreement in the Senate, it would still have to go back to the House for consideration. So, but what's in these is apparently is funding for the entire government at least through the next fiscal year, so till October of 2026. But there are a couple of things. I mean, you know, but there are a couple of things that would only go through, you know, through January. So there are, you know, so things like the Department of Veterans Affairs will be funded through the next fiscal year. Department of Agriculture will be funded through the fiscal year. Some government operations will be funded through the fiscal year. But things, but then the rest of government actually will only be funded through next January. So there's still the possibility we could go through this again early next year.
And that's not that far away. Where do these affordable health care tax credits stand in these bills that the Senate voted to pass along to the House after they deliberate or at least read them for 30 hours, whatever the hell they're going to do?
Right. I mean, this is the sticking point here. So will there be a vote on that? What Democrats basically got out of this is that they got an agreement, a promise that there will be a vote to extend the ACA subsidies, but they don't have a date or time for that. So functionally,
wait, say that part again, please, Aaron.
They don't have, as far as I've seen, there's not been a date or time for when that vote would happen. So all of this ending of the filibuster and those passing of those three funding bills do not include any type of ACA, you know, funding. So that's a separate thing that's going to have to happen. And the reality is that that's only going to happen in the Senate. There's no agreement with the House or the president, you know, Donald Trump, that they would actually then also, if it were to pass the Senate, the ACA funding, that they would actually go along with it. So it's largely symbolic, I would argue, that the Senate Democrats achieved.
So who ate it politically on this?
I mean, I would argue that Democrats did. I mean, they did this, and all they got was a symbolic vote that may or may not happen in the next few months. They didn't get any concessions from Republicans in any other real way. And so this is a problem, particularly since it seemed like public opinion was weighing more heavily on Republicans. Donald Trump's approval rating had started to drop for the first time probably since the spring. And so they seemingly have stopped that from happening by reopening the government.
So that's what I don't get. And look, I'm not for the closing of the government. I'm just talking about political strategy here, okay? I'm not taking up for the Democrats. I'm not taking up for the Republicans. I'm just talking about who's going to be the perceived winner in this, although the American people are the loser. But it seemed as though the Democrats took a stand and had their foot on the throat for a while, but then just backed off for no reason. I don't understand why they backed off. And look, I understand about people getting paid. I'm not for the shutdown of the government. I'm not for the disruptions in air travel that we just spoke about before you joined us for the audience. None of that. I'm just talking about political strategy here. Why would the Democrats do this?
Right. Well, for as far as political strategy goes, I don't think this makes any sense at all. I mean, I think you're exactly right. The Democrats, seemingly by staying united, were winning this. Mm-hmm. Public opinion wasn't weighing on them. And so to have basically unilaterally step back and say, okay, we're done. Now, it's laudable that they care about the short-term consequences and their real short-term consequences, right? But the long-term consequences are all still there. So health care is almost certainly going to go, you know, up for anyone on an ACA Affordable Care Act health care plan is going to just see their premiums skyrocket without any type of subsidies to help stop that. And the result of that is unquestionable, that people are just going to not have health insurance next year. And you're talking about millions of people. And so it seems very short-sighted in the way, you know, politically for them to say, well, we're going to open this government without really gaining anything other than a symbolic vote on the ACA subsidies late some point later in the year.
So politically, well, you use the word laudable, and maybe the Democrats did the right thing by doing this and opening the government to eliminate the pain, air travel, Thanksgiving, et cetera, et cetera. But with the Democratic base, when it comes time for the insurance rates that go up, to me, it seems as though the Democratic base is not going to think, well, thank you for opening government. The Democratic base is going to think you bailed out on us. And again, I'm not justifying anything. I'm talking about the political strategy here. The Democrats are going to say, well, wait a minute. You had our backs and now you bailed out on us. I got to pay X amount for insurance that I didn't before, when maybe you had them where you could have bent their will or at least gotten some kind of concession, even though you did the right thing and I'm benefiting from that. That's not what I'm going to remember you for. Do you understand what I'm trying to ask, Aaron?
Right. Oh, I agree with your interpretation exactly. I mean, I think that this is a short-term solution that will alleviate pain short-term, but it does nothing long-term. And on top of that, it's, you know, so SNAP benefits are something that Republicans have been, you know, been in the Republican crosshairs for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee in this that they won't simply cut SNAP benefits next year many times, or eliminate it entirely, or firing of federal workers. You know, they're part of this agreement is to rehire the federal workers that have been fired. But again, there's no agreement that they won't just fire them later, because that's what they've been doing this entire year. And it's part of Project 2025's plan is to reduce the size of government through firing of federal workers. And so they've gained nothing long term, all for, you know, to stop a short term pain, which is real. But, you know, if you were going to fight this for 40 days, you know, why give up now?
So that's the question I have, I guess, practically. I'm just wondering pragmatically why they would do that. Politically, when it comes to midterms, that's where we move next, right after this, or after what happens on January 16th, I think, is when some of this goes through, and then we could be looking at another government shutdown.
In theory, you could see another government shutdown at the end of January. I would be very surprised if Democrats were willing to go through that again. They seem to have expended their political capital on this one, and they gained a one, you know, symbolic vote on the ACA sometime in the future in the Senate.
Because by that time, these rate increases will have gone through and the medicine will have been taken, right, politically?
Well, yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, all of these cuts, all of the new healthcare, you know, stuff is going to have happened by January. It's going to be painful. People are going to be complaining a lot. But again, to step up and actually shut down government again, you know, is you're trying to essentially roll back the clock to, oh, we shouldn't. You're basically admitting that you shouldn't have stopped.
That's what drives me crazy. The logic of this. It's like, well, what you're telling me is, you caused all of this pain and misery and inconvenience, et cetera, with the shutdown of the government, however you want to phrase it or view it, and you got nothing in return, so why did you do it? Am I missing something here?
I think that's a great question, and I would like to hear the answer. I think the answer that's come from the eight Democrats that went along with this so far has been to point to, obviously, the SNAP benefit pain and the air traffic control pain and the pain that's coming from people who have been fired, federal workers who have been fired. And so those are all real things. But again, those are short term. Your long-term goal from, back in the beginning of October to start this thing was about healthcare and fixing it in some way, in your, opinion, fixing it in some way. And you didn't get any of that. You gained nothing of the claims you made back in early October about why you're doing this.
And
none of that happened.
And I have insurance through work, so this doesn't apply to me. But to think that the Republicans come January 16th or whenever this thing expires, whatever, despite what did you say the phraseology used about a promise or something? How did you phrase it? To revisit
right,
this?
Apparently, Democrats and Republicans did give Republicans gave Democrats a promise that they would have a vote on ACA subsidies in the Senate at some point in the future. There wasn't a date attached to this, and so
whether
that actually happens, of course, is questionable.
But even if it does, that's purely symbolic because the House would have to approve it before any tax credits would be handed out, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. So any real compromise between Republicans and Democrats has to include both the House and Senate and the President of the United States, because all of those institutions have to sign off on it. So agreement between a couple of senators is to have a vote some point, next in December or January is utterly meaningless without the assent or agreement from the House, which is controlled by Republicans and the Republican president.
So in what universe does Chuck Schumer or Akeem Jeffries think that Donald Trump, that Mike Johnson, or even Mike Thune is going to change their views on affordable health care credits, however you want to phrase it, and revisit this in good faith and have a vote and that anything's really going to change? That's crazy thinking, isn't it?
It seems at best naive at this point. I mean,
these are not naive people, Aaron. You know this. So what's going on? So what the hell's going on, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I mean, Schumer didn't sign, so isn't one. So back in March, Schumer was one of the Democrats that went along with a funding bill to keep the government open. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't go along with it this time. But you're the leader of the party, and so you should have some pull. Ultimately, though, this rests at the feet of the eight senators, Democratic senators, who went along with this, and decided that we're going to just bet that we're going to be able to have some type of a vote on the ACA that would actually have some effect in the House and with the president.
I don't know
what that's based on.
Is there anything in there the House would not approve or vote on?
Well, I mean, the House has indicated that they don't want to extend the ACA subsidies. So,
there's no extension in what the Senate passed, right?
Right. Yeah. No, there's nothing. No.
So I guess what I'm saying is there any reason that the House won't approve what the Senate approved and that the government will reopen? And if so, what's the timeline on it?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason to believe that once these three bills pass the Senate, that the House wouldn't pass them quickly and they would go to the desk of the president very quickly. So the expectation would be that this will take a couple of days to, maybe the mid Wednesday or Thursday when this finally gets done in the Senate. It'll go quickly to the House. They'll pass it probably within the same day and it'll go to the president's office probably by the end of the week, I would bet.
And the government reopens, and then the Republicans, I would think, politically get to claim the high ground and say, this was all an effort in futility by the Democrats who caused you X amount of pain, this, that, disruption, et cetera, for no reason.
Right. I agree. I mean, we gained exactly what we wanted, which was continued funding the government, and we gave up a symbolic vote at some point in the Senate.
And the shutdown is all on the Democrats at this point, because what did you get? Nothing.
Right. Yeah. You didn't gain. You can't show that you won anything, that this was the pain was worth it.
At least that's what I see it. You got any thoughts besides that, Aaron?
I was surprised to see this happen. You could see this early Sunday night that this was going to happen. And so it's interesting that the political will of the party broke so quickly.
It was you'd like to think that people do things for the right reasons, but then you also wonder who got to who about what, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, this is short-sighted. I can see the value of it, but there's no long-term benefit to Democrats.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University in Indianapolis. Good news is the government might reopen by the end of the week. 9:26, we'll talk about fire and safety and heat and cold and all that when we come back on WWL. Cold today could be even colder tonight, and that makes us worry about people and space heaters and fireplaces and Lord knows what else. Ken Pasterick joins us now, Director of Public Affairs for the State Fire Marshal's Office. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So thanks for coming on. You know what worries me is that there are people listening right now or people that are alive right now that may not be tomorrow because of accidents with space heaters or trying to stay warm, etc. I'm going to turn the floor over to you, sir, and give us heater cold weather safety 101.
Well, the big deal here, Tommy, is that it's getting colder tonight, and folks are going to want to stay well warm, and you got to do it safely because you don't want to be one of those statistics, which so far this year we have had 72 fatalities and 54 house fires with only 13 smoke alarms that were in the home and only three of those thrown to be working. That's up from 57 the same time last year, 15 more house fire fatalities than last year at this time. And that's alarming because we're getting into the busy season right now. And what you have to do is you make sure you heat your home safely, that you, if you put a space heater in your house somewhere, make sure that it's at least 3 feet away from heat sources like fireplaces, wood stoves, radiators, space heaters. Keep it away from drapes, blankets, furniture, anything that's combustible that can catch on fire. You want to keep a space of 3 feet away so you don't get a fire in your house. And you never use an oven to heat your home. That's a big no-no. And when you go to bed, you need to turn those space heaters off or when you leave a room because they can catch fire, and then you've got a problem then. And maintain your heating equipment and chimneys by having them cleaned and inspected each year by a professional. One more thing is with these portable heaters that folks use that they plug into the wall, make sure you plug those directly into an electrical outlet. Do not plug them into a power strip or an extension cord. That's a big no-no because it could overheat and then you've got a big problem. So now we switch to carbon monoxide. That's something else we got to worry about. With carbon monoxide, if you're heating your home with natural gas, if it's not combusting right and it puts off carbon monoxide, it's an odorless, deadly gas. And so you need to have a carbon monoxide detector in your house on the levels where you have people living, and you need to maintain visibility of those things and make sure they're working properly. You test those once a month. With the smoke alarms, you test those. We just tested those just over last week with daylight saving time. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure those things are working as well because those are lifesavers. The statistics show that if you have a smoke alarm that's working, it reduces your risk of dying in a house fire by 60%. That's a pretty good statistic, and it's a cheap amount, a cheap price to pay for insurance to get out safely. Because a dead smoke alarm is a paperweight. It does you no good. And if you can't afford a smoke alarm, call your local fire department because we have this program called Operation Save a Life. Free smoke alarms to everybody in Louisiana who wants one. Call. They'll bring them out to your house. They will install them. You'll have a firefighter install them. So you got a professional who knows what he's doing. And if your local fire department doesn't participate in the program, call us, the fire marshal's office, or go to lasfm.org and look for Operation Save a Life. And we're happy to help you out with that. We want to make sure folks don't become statistics, Tommy.
Well, well said indeed. A quick word about fireplaces and people that tend to think, you know, you want a big roaring fire and you want Norman Rockwell and all that stuff, but you don't want to burn the house down. So a couple of words about that, Ken, please.
Yeah, absolutely. When you go to bed, you want to put those fireplaces out. You want to put candles out or anything like that because you don't want to be sleeping unconscious, not knowing that this thing may evolve into a house fire, and then you've got a big problem. And that goes, so you've got to do that every night. When you go to bed, you need to put those fires out. You're putting yourself and your family at risk. And again, I stress that message that our fire marshal, Brian Adams, continues to push. And that is that you need to have working smoke alarms in your house because they are a sentinel. They sit, they watch, they keep tabs on your house. If you have a fire happen, It goes off, it wakes you up, and it gives you valuable time you need to get out of your house. If you're sleeping and a fire breaks out, and by the time you wake up, you may not have enough time to get out because it's too large and your house is fully engulfed. But that smoke alarm buys you that valuable time you need to get out. We want to make sure people get those in their house. Smoke alarm, carbon monoxide detectors. You know, here's the thing with those. You can buy these at the store. If you don't want to get the Operation Light Save a Life, you can go to the store and buy them. These things are 10-year, have 10-year batteries on them, so they last a long time. But we recommend you check them at least once a month to make sure they're still working.
And you can get them with carbon monoxide detectors built in as well, right?
They do have combination units. They sure do. And you need to have one in each room where you're staying, where you live, where you have a bedroom, each bedroom, and on the hallways and things like that. That way you have those sentinels sitting there watching and making sure that you don't have a fire, you don't have carbon monoxide, and if you do, it alerts you, you get you out the house. And if you do have either one of those detectors go off, you need to get out the house. Another thing you got to have, Tommy, is you need to practice with your family two escape routes. Have that for your family, two escape routes, and make sure you practice that. And then when you get outside, you make sure you have a place where you're going to meet, the front driveway. That's where we tell my family. We say, meet at the front driveway. And that way we know we're accounted for, and when the fire department shows up, we can say everybody's accounted for it, and that's a good thing.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time and the information. Ken Pasterick, Director of Public Affairs for the State Fire Marshal's Office. We'll talk Pelicans when we come back. 938, 22 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. 9:45, quarter till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops.
I'm having this feeling of Zion Vu all over again.
Yeah, you know, this was supposed to be a different year. Zion Williamson came into the season looking the best we've ever seen from him. There were noticeable changes in the way he was moving in preseason, the way he seemed to be approaching his offseason training. It was supposed to be a different year, and that was kind of punctuated by the fact that they let David Griffin go, hired Joe Dumars to run this franchise, and it was supposed to kind of signal a new era of Pelicans basketball, or at least something different from the past 6 years, which have just kind of been one in the same here. And then immediately Zion Williamson, after a couple of games, goes down with a hamstring injury. Hamstrings have kind of hampered his career thus far and are concerning injuries at the NBA level. Now that they're 2-7 at this point, and it just feels like more of the same here in New Orleans. So that kind of promise of a new era of things being different has really fallen flat on its face to start the year.
You know, I've heard people opine that Zion, for whatever reason, and people tell me that they knew this before or that people in the know told them this when he was drafted, that he wasn't physically built to withstand the rigors of an NBA season. I don't know anything about that. I do you know anything about that? Is there any, have there been precedents like that with NBA players? And when it comes to hamstrings, have there been precedents with NBA players where they have chronic hamstring problems, and is there anything that can be done to cure or to prevent any of that?
Yeah, you know, I think there's some precedents kind of on both sides about what you were talking a little bit about there. You know, one, when you watch Zion Williamson play, he plays with a lot of force. There's just a lot of torque on his body, a lot of contact. He takes a beating out there, and as a big man that drives into the paint, attacks the rim, you're running into other big man bodies, and you know, you get hurt from that sort of thing. It takes a physical toll on him. It's evidenced by the fact that he gets a lot of fouls called for him and goes to the free throw line a lot. You know, that you do that because of contact that's made that's deemed illegal. So it takes a toll on his body, which means you need to be very careful about that. There needs to be the right balance of having muscle to be able to absorb that kind of physicality, but not having too much that your body just can't hold up. And I think for Zion Williamson being such a unique player, there's nobody else like him in the NBA, it makes it a really tough balancing act to try and figure that out. This year, when he's been healthy, he hasn't looked quite himself. And I wonder if that means he's lost too much weight, lost too much muscle, that he's not able to kind of finish around the rim and score at the same level that he was before. So it makes it really, really tough. And it makes it tough to build around such a unique player like that, because you're kind of not following any established blueprint when it comes to it. You know, when it comes to hamstring injuries, those are concerning in the NBA because they often get re-aggravated. And when we've seen Zion Williamson go down with a hamstring injury, miss time, he has, in the past, and it's a new regime here, so we'll see how they approach it, has kind of gone longer than what the expected prognosis is. Usually they say he'll be re-evaluated in 2 to 4 weeks or 4 to 8 weeks, somewhere along those lines. You know, the 8 weeks come up and he's not healthy yet. And these are the type of injuries that, because there's such a high chance of it being re-aggravated, you need to wait till someone is 100% to be able to step back out there on the court. If they go out there at 90%, at 95%, there's a risk that you could tweak that hamstring again, and now you're missing even more time. So it does pay to have a more cautious approach with that to prevent that additional injury risk here. But that means you're losing games. That means your best player's not out there on the court, and that is certainly a frustrating thing, and we've seen it just be a frustrating start to the season for New Orleans when, again, things were supposed to be different, and they just aren't.
And people think of a hamstring as one muscle when it actually isn't, but I don't want to get into anatomy 101 here. Your early impression of the Pels so far, and as far as it being maybe a new regime or something different?
You know, it hasn't been good. This was a team that started 0-6 and looked like the worst team in the league before getting two back-to-back wins, and that was important, I think, just to get some positive vibes around the team before coming back down to earth a little bit on the road on Saturday night against the San Antonio Spurs. You just see things aren't working. There is some promise here in the rookies in Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, but this was a team, especially because they traded away next year's first-round pick, that thought they could be competitive. They thought they could be a playoff team, and when you watch them play on the court right now, they don't look like that. They look like a play-in tournament team at best, so you're looking at the eighth, ninth, or tenth seed, I think, on the high end here for New Orleans, and even then, that really might be a stretch given the hole that they've put themselves in. You know, under this new regime, under Joe Dumars, one of the things he had said was this team was going to be competitive nightly. They were going to go out and they were going to fight every single night. But through those first six games, you didn't see that. Of those first six games, three of those losses, so half of them, but were by 30 or more points. You know, at the time, there were only six blowout defeats like that in the NBA, and the Pelicans had half of them. That's kind of a sign of a team that just doesn't have it, that isn't responding well to each other as a group, to coaching, whatever it might be. It's just not working is the simplest way to put it. So I think when you look at it like that, they need some bigger shakeups. They need to kind of change things even more, because the way that they're going right now isn't going to develop the young guys in the way that you would like them to see, because they're trying to win now, but they're also just not going to be competitive enough to actually win enough games to make the postseason. Straddle two timelines, and they need to pick one approach, I think.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, but that brings us to Willie Green. What are you hearing?
I mean, he's definitely on the hot seat. I was a little surprised they didn't fire him after the 0-6 start, truthfully. You know, in that Denver game in particular where they lost by 30, you saw a team that just had no fight in them whatsoever. And for Joe Dumars to come in and say, we've got to be competitive, we want to be competitive, that hasn't really been the culture that you've seen from this group right now. And so if they're not responding, you've got to do something. You know, you've got two rookies that are playing well enough, but they're not going to win you games. And if you're trying to make the postseason, you've seen minutes for a guy like Derek Queen kind of fluctuate, for Jeremiah Fears fluctuate. That's not going to be conducive to their long-term growth. So they need to kind of pick a lane. If it's you want to be competitive this year, you probably need to make a change at head coach just to see if someone can bring new energy in and just get these players to respond in a way that they haven't been before. But also your interim coach isn't as worried about being fired or not at that point in time. It might play those rookies more minutes to help them develop so that this year doesn't feel like a lost year. So when you look at kind of where the Pelicans are, these are consequences of their own decisions, it feels like. And they need to try and sort this out sooner rather than later, in my opinion.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate it. Tell me about Locked On Pelicans.
We're there Monday through Friday covering everything you want to know about this team, really doing a deep dive in the rookies and why you should be excited about them.
A little bit early for an interim coach, isn't it?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see soon, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you, man. 9:53, 7 till 10. Quick break. We'll find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.